Hi, I'm David Faddis, and this logic talk is about the truth table test of validity. That's a mouthful, but we're going to learn about truth tables and how to use them to show that an argument is valid. We've already seen just a little bit about truth tables when we were learning about our various truth functional connectives. A conjunction has the following truth table, and a truth table basically shows you what is true of the conjunction if you know about the two atomic propositions. So in the first row, if P and Q are both true, then in a conjunction, it's also true. P and Q is true. However, if P is true and Q is false, in that second row, then the conjunction is false. In the third row, if P is false and Q is true, then their conjunction is false. And in the fourth row, if they're both false, obviously the conjunction's false. So the truth table for a conjunction shows that the only time that a conjunction is true is if both of the conjuncts, P and Q, are true. The truth table for negation is quite simple. If P is true, then the negation of P is false. If P is false, then the negation of P is true. That's all there is to it for the truth table of a negation. For a disjunction, the truth table looked like this. If P and Q are both true, first row, then P or Q is obviously true. If P is true and Q is false, second row, then P or Q is still true because one of them is true and that's all it needs. Third row, if P is false and Q is true, then it's still true to say that P or Q is true. And only if P and Q are false in that fourth row is the disjunction P or Q false. So we've learned about the truth tables for our truth functional connectives. Now we're going to give some thought to how to use truth tables more broadly. And that brings us deeper into the realm of propositional logic. Thus far, we've talked about translating sentences into logical symbols. And a first thing that we would do is identify what the atomic propositions within a sentence are, and then we would choose a constant to represent each one of those atomic propositions. And then we had to figure out what truth functional connectives to use. If it was a conjunction, we would use the raised dot. If it was a disjunction, we'd use the wedge. If it was a negation, then we used the tilde. So we did those things to change English sentences into symbolic sentences. What was the point of all that? Well, the point of it was so that you could determine the validity of an argument using a formal method that will work every time if you know how to do it. If you know whether the atomic propositions are true or false, and you use the constants, and you know how to use connectives, and then you use a formal method, you can show whether an argument is valid or invalid. Earlier in the course, we thought about informal tests of validity. And basically, the informal test was try to imagine a scenario in which the premises of the argument are true, and yet the conclusion is false. And the argument is valid if we can't come up with any situation in which the premises of the argument would be true and yet the conclusion be false. But it's an invalid argument if we can imagine a way where, yeah, all the premises are true and yet the conclusion is false, then we know that the argument is not valid. Because every valid argument is such that if the premises are true, the conclusion has to be true. And the informal test, again, is just, well, let's think about it. Can I imagine a scenario in which the premises would be true but the conclusion false? And if you can't, you say, well, I think it's valid. The informal test of validity would work on an argument kind of like this. The convict escaped either by crawling through the sewage pipes or by hiding in the back of the delivery truck. That's the first premise. The second premise is the convict did not escape by crawling through the sewage pipes. And the conclusion is, therefore, the convict escaped by hiding in the back of the delivery truck. Now, can you imagine a scenario in which that argument would be false? If the first premise is true, that he did it either one way or that other way, there was only two possibilities. That's the first premise. It was either the sewage pipes or the delivery truck. It's got to be one of the two. And your second premise was, it wasn't the sewage pipes, then you know it had to be the other one. The convict escaped by hiding in the back of the delivery truck. You can't imagine that argument not working. If you say it's one of two things, and it wasn't the one, it's got to be the other. And that's our informal test of validity. Now, if you were to try to translate that into symbolic logic, here's how you'd go about it. The first premise, the convict escaped either by crawling through the sewage pipes or by hiding in the back of the delivery truck, has two atomic propositions. The first is symbolized by the constant S, escape through the sewage pipes. The second atomic proposition is the constant D, escaped in the delivery truck. And you translate that by saying S wedge D, S or D. One of those two atomic propositions is true. The second premise is the convict did not escape by crawling through the sewage pipes. And so in terms of your atomic propositions, it's tilde S. If crawling through the sewage pipes was the atomic proposition, then the negation of that is saying he didn't do it through the sewage pipes. And that gives you your second premise, the convict did not escape through the sewage pipes, by symbolizing it as tilde S. And then when you come to symbolize the conclusion, therefore, the convict escaped in the back of the delivery truck, well, D is our constant for escaped in the delivery truck, so therefore D. And we use that little three-dot symbol to mean therefore. Anytime you read that little symbol, it means therefore. It means this is the result of the whole argument. This is the conclusion. Therefore. And so that's how you'd symbolize that argument that either he escaped through the sewage pipes or the delivery truck. It wasn't the sewage pipes. Therefore, the delivery truck. Truth tables are used to represent how the truth value of a complex proposition depends on the truth values of the propositions that compose it. So if you have propositions that contain several smaller propositions, then the truth table represents the truth values of the various possibilities. So if we wanted a truth table for this convict escaping either through the sewer or the delivery truck, we would symbolize it in the following way. When you set up a truth table, the first two columns have to be the constants for your atomic propositions. D for the delivery truck, S for the sewer. Usually we put them alphabetically, so we put D first in that top row and then S. So those two are called the reference columns. The reference columns are the columns where you have the constants for the atomic propositions you work with. Then the next column will be your first premise. And remember, your first premise was S or D. Either it was through the sewer or the delivery truck, S wedge D. Your second premise is tilde S, not S. He didn't do it through the sewage. And then your conclusion was D. So that's how the argument reads across the top of the truth table. Your reference columns have your atomic propositions, and then the columns after that will have the premises in the order that they were stated. So S or D, not S, and then D as your conclusion in the column to the farthest right. When you do a truth table, the column to the farthest right will always be your conclusion. And now you want to test, was this a valid argument? So to start out with, your reference columns, you have to fill in all the possibilities of what happens with your atomic propositions. And in this case, you only have two. So D and S, you could have in that first row, D and S could both be true. You could also have D being true or S being false. You could have D being false and S being true. Or you could have both of them being false. That's how you set up the truth table when you have two constants, two atomic propositions. You have the two reference columns, true, 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 false, false. The next column, you have to figure out whether S or D is true. Well, what do we get? Look in the columns for D and S. And If D and S are both true in that first row, then you know that S or D is true. Look at the second row. If D is true, but S is false, the disjunction S or D is still true because one of the members is true. Same is the case with the third row. If D is false, but S is true, then S or D is still a true proposition. The only time that S or D is false is if both D and S are false. And so the final row, where both of the atomic propositions are false, shows that S or D is false as well. So now you've got that row. You've got the truth values for S or D. Moving on to the next column. Not S. That's very easy. You just look at the S column. If S is true, then not S is false. Second row, if S is false, then not S is true. Third row, if S is true, then not S is false. And fourth row, you're looking again in the S column, and you see that S is false in the fourth row, and so that means that not S is true in the fourth row. So wherever S had one value, not S had the opposite value. And that's about the simplest thing that you can do in logic, is just negate the value, and it goes the opposite. And now we have to get the conclusion. The conclusion is D. Well, in this argument, that's really, really, really easy because D is just one of our constants in the first column. So you just copy the first column as your conclusion. D is true in the first, true in the second row, false in the third row, false in the fourth row. And so that's what your D column looks like, and D is your conclusion. Now, you've got everything filled out in your truth table. Your constants, D and S, have been filled out with their possible values. That's all you put in there is what the various possibilities are. You've got your S or D column filled out. You have your not S column filled out and the D conclusion column filled out. How do you know whether the argument is valid? Here's how. You know the argument is valid if the premises, if any time the premises are true, then the conclusion is true. If you find a row where the premises were true but the conclusion is false, then it's not a valid argument. So in this case, the truth table test of validity looks at the row where both premises are true. There's only one row where both of the premises, S or D and not S, there's only one row, the second row, where both of those were true. And it turns out that if both of those were true, then the final column, your conclusion column, D in this case, is true. So if you find a row where all the premises are true, the conclusion has to be true. If you had found a row where you had both premises being true but the conclusion was false, then you know you had an invalid argument. An argument is valid if and only if, for every assignment of truth values to the atomic propositions, if the premises are true, then the conclusion is true. An argument is invalid if there exists an assignment of truth values to the atomic propositions on which the premises are true, and yet the conclusion is false. So, in short, if premises are true, conclusion has to be true in order for an argument to be valid. And we saw with the sewer and the delivery truck that if you did a truth table for that, there was only one column where both premises, there was only one row, I mean, where both premises were true. And so the truth value in the final column was true as well, and that meant it was a valid argument. Here's another example. Again, it's a real simple one with only one premise and then a conclusion. The only premise is not C. And the conclusion is therefore not C or A, with C or A in parentheses. And a truth table can show whether this argument's valid even if you don't know what C or A mean. So again, we construct our truth table. Remember, the first thing to do is to make your reference columns. You have two constants, A and C, and you have to give all the possible values that those could have, the possible mixture of values, so to speak. So first row, they're both true. Second row, A is true, C is false. Third row, A is false, C is true. Fourth row, A is false, C is false. Those are the four possibilities when you have two constants. Either both are true, the first is true, the second false, the first is false, the second true, or they're both false. So now that you have it set up with your reference columns, the next step is to do the premise column. And your step on that one is pretty easy. If the premise is not C, then look at the C column and do the opposite. If C is true in that first row, then not C is false. If C is false in that column, then not C is true. If C is true in that third row, then not C is false. And in the fourth row, C is false, so not C is true. Easy enough. With a tilde, you just take the opposite truth value of what the constant was. Now we move on to our column for the conclusion. And here, we can't just right away in our head, unless you're really good at it, decide what the truth value of those are. So because we have a quantity in parentheses and then a truth functional operator outside the parentheses, the first thing we have to do is decide what's going on in the parentheses. In this case, the truth value of C or A, C wedge A. So we have to look at A and C in those first two columns. And in that first row, they're both true, and so C or A is true. In the second row, A is true, C is false, and so we say, well, then C or A is true because a disjunction is true even if one of the disjuncts is false, but the other true. Third row, same story, A is false, C is true, so the disjunction is true. C or A is true because one of the members is true. And only in that bottom row do you see that A and C are both false, and therefore C or A is false. Now, you still aren't finished with that column. You did the portion in parentheses. That's what we've done so far. Now we have to use the tilde on that, and we get the opposite. So we calculated what C or A is. Now we're going to do what tilde or not C or A. So in this column we saw earlier that we computed that it was true, but now we change it to false because we negated it. Second row, it was true, so we negate it. Now it's false. Third row, it was true. Now we negated it, it's false. Fourth row, the disjunction was false. C or A was false, but therefore tilde C or A is true. And now we have actually the truth values in the conclusion column. And we're ready to move on to determining whether this argument was valid. If the premises are true, then the conclusion is true if the argument is valid. We see one row where the premise is true. See the bottom row? Not C is true. And then the quantity not C or A is also true. But the second row, you see not C is true, and yet the conclusion is false. You know what that means? It's not a valid argument, because you just found a circumstance in which a premise was true and the conclusion was false. Anytime you find a situation where all premises are true and the conclusion is false, then you don't have a valid argument. And remember, this was an argument with only one premise, not C. Well, let's take another example, and this one involves three constants. The first premise is A or B in parentheses or C. The second premise is not A. And then the conclusion is therefore C. And again, we can use a truth table to show whether this argument is valid, even if we don't know what A, B, and C mean. Now, how do we go make a truth table? Just a note on making truth tables. When you have more than two, atomic propositions, it gets a little more complicated, though not terribly. But you have to account for all the possible truth values of all the constants. So if you have two of them, if you have one atomic proposition, then you only need two rows in your truth table. If you have two atomic propositions, then you need four rows in your truth table, as we've seen in some truth tables we worked on. If you have three atomic propositions, as we do in this case, then you need to have eight rows in your truth table. If you had four, you'd have to have 16 rows, so it starts getting to be really big and ugly if you have a lot of different atomic propositions. In this case, it's still kind of manageable because we have three atomic propositions and you need two to the n rows in a truth table for that amount of propositions. So again, 2 to the zeroth is just 1, but when you raise 2 to the third power, it's 8. 2 to the second power is 4. 2 to the third is 2 times 2 times 2. So anyway, you get that. I don't want to review all of earlier level math courses that you may have taken. But when you're making a truth table, just know this. If you have 3 constants, you're going to need 8 rows because you need as many rows as there are constants to the third power in this case. So here's what we do. You have A, B, and C are your reference columns. You have 8 rows down below, and then you put your premises and your conclusion. Your first premise, as you can see, is A or B in parentheses or C. Your next column is not A. Your final column is C. In those reference columns with your constants, here's what you need to do. You start with the reference column that's the farthest to the right of the three, and you just alternate them. True, false, true, false, true, false, true, false. Easy enough. The next column, you double that. You go true, true, false, false, true, true, false, false. And then the next column, you raise it to another power. True, 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 false, 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 false. So that column over to the right, the C column, you go every other one. The next one, you go 2, 2, 2, 2. And then the third column, you go 4 and 4. And if you were to have a fourth column, you'd be going, you'd have to have a 16-column row. We're not going to go there right now. But just remember that rule of going with as many rows as 2 to the power of the number of constants. We have 3 constants. You start in the column farthest to the right and just alternate. The next one, you go 2 at a time. The next one, you go 4 at a time. And if you do it that way, you will have covered all possible combinations of the truth values for A, B, and C. Now, in the next column, we have a premise that involves several components. So the first thing we need to do is just get the truth value of A or B. In the row where A and B are both true, then the disjunction is true. Next row, they're still both true, A and B, so it's still true. Third row, A is true, B is false, so then the disjunction is still true because A or B is true. Next one, same story. Fourth row, A is true, B is false, so the disjunction's still true. The fifth row, you've got false true, so the disjunction is still true. The sixth row, same story, it's still true because you've got a false but also a true. And only in those bottom two rows are A and B both false, and therefore the disjunction is false. So now we're done with that computation of that column. Now we're still not done with the column because all we did was A or B. Now we've got to say, now A or B, and then or C. So here's how you go. You look at the A or B value and look at C. Well, they're both true. Second row, C is false, but A or B is true, so then the disjunction is still true because it's or. Remember, third row, true and true, so you're still true with the disjunction. Fourth row, C is false, but the disjunction of A or B was true, so then the total disjunction is still true. Fifth row, you've still got two trues. Sixth row, you've got C was false, but A or B was true. So still, the total disjunction is true. In the seventh row, C is true, and A or B is false, but because C was true and it's a disjunction, you still got true, because the only way that a disjunction is false is if both of its components are false. And then in the eighth row, you see C is false, and the disjunction A or B is false, and therefore, since they're both false, then the total overall disjunction A or B or C is false. It's false only in that eighth row. The next column is going to be a lot easier. Look over at the A column. If it's true, then not A is false. If it's true again in the next row, and the next row, and the next row, then it's going to be false in all four of the top, in the four top rows for not A. You look over in the A column again, and you see four falses in a row, and you say, oh, that's easy, four trues in a row for not A. So you've got that column wrapped up. And then finally, your C column, all you got to do is copy C from where it was over there, because C was an atomic proposition, but it's also your conclusion. So you just copy what was in the C column and copy it over again in the conclusion C column. Now, your next step in doing this truth table is look at the rows where all the premises are true. Look at the fifth row. The premises are both true. Remember, your reference columns are just A, B, and C. Those aren't premises anymore. Those are just the atomic propositions. The premises were A or B or C, and then not A. And in the fifth row, those two are true, and the conclusion's true. So far, so good. It might be valid. But the sixth row, you see that A or B is true, A or B or C is true, and you see that not A is true, but C is false. And if you have your premises both being true but your conclusion false, you know the argument isn't valid. You look at the next row, and the premises are both true, and the conclusion's true, but it doesn't matter. You could go through a truth table and find several rows where the premises are true and the conclusion is true, but if you find just one row, where the premises are true but the conclusion is false, it's not a valid argument, because an argument is valid only if the conclusion is true every time the premises are true. It's a lockdown, fail-safe argument. If these premises are true, the conclusion has to be true. And if not, it's not a valid logical argument. So that's the truth table test of validity. You're using it on this argument, and you showed that it wasn't valid because you found a row where the premises were true, yet the conclusion was false. Let's try one more. Valid or invalid? A or B, that disjunction in parentheses, and then you've got A or C, that disjunction in parentheses, and you have the raised dot in between. So this is a conjunction of two disjunctions, A or B and A or C. Your second premise, not A. Your conclusion, therefore, B or C. Is that a valid or an invalid argument? Well, let's set up our truth table. Again, remember that you need a certain number of rows to cover all the possible truth value combinations of your atomic propositions. And once again, we have three of those, three constants that we're going to be using. And so because we have three, it's 2 to the third power. 2 times 2 times 2, we're going to need 8 rows for those values. So we have our reference columns, A, B, and C, for the three atomic propositions. And then we have 8 rows below those. And then we have our column for A or B and A or C. We have our column for not A, the second premise. And then we have our column for the conclusion, B or C. Remember that in order to get our atomic propositions, all the possible truth values, when you have three of them, we start in that column furthest to the right and just go true, false, true, false, true, false, true, false. Then the next column over, we go true, true, false, false, true, true, false, false, where you're going in bunches of two at a time down the truth table. And then as you move over to the leftmost reference column, you go with four at a time, true, 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 false, 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 false. And that'll give you all the possible combinations of truth values for three different atomic propositions. Then we move over to this, and again, we can't do it all in one mouthful. We have to start out with one disjunction, A or B. And you move down from the first row, A and B are both true, so A or B is true. Second row, true again because both are true. Third row, the disjunction's true because A is true, even though B is false. Fourth row, B is false, but A is true, so the disjunction is still true. Fifth row, disjunction still true because B is true and A is false. So as long as one of them is true, the disjunction remains true. Same story on the sixth row. One of them's false, A is false, but the B is true, so the disjunction's true. Seventh row, finally, you see two falses, A and B, and so the disjunction A and B is false, and the same is true of the eighth row. Both are false, the disjunction's false. So we're partway there. Now we have to do the other disjunction in that column, A or C. And so we work our way across, and we look at A and C, they're both true, so the disjunction's true. A or C in the second row, A's true, C's false, but the disjunction's still true. Third row, they're both true, A and C, so disjunction's true. Fourth row, A's true, C's false, so because one of them is true, then the disjunction's still true. Fifth row, A is false, C is true, so the disjunction is still true. Sixth row, A is false and C is false, so the disjunction is false. So you see in the sixth row why the disjunction A or C is false. Seventh row, A is false, but C is true, so the disjunction is true. And the eighth row, A is false, C is false, so A or C is false. We're still not quite done. We've done both of the disjunctions in that premise. Now we have to conjoin them with the raised dot, A or B and A or C, and figure out what the story is on that. And remember, in order for a conjunction to be true, both of the statements that it conjoins have to be true. And so in that first row, you see A or B was true and A or C was true, so the conjunction is true. In the second row, both of the disjunctions were true, so the conjunction is true. In the third row, you have two truths, those two conjunctions, and so again, the conjunction of two truths is a true. Fourth row, same story. Fifth row, same story. Two truths always makes it true. But you get to the sixth row, and you see that one of the disjunctions was true, but the other was false. And if you have two statements combined, remember, a half-truth is a whole lie. So if you conjoin two statements and one is true, the other false, then the conjunction is false. So sixth row is false because one of those items was false. In the seventh row, the first item was false. The first disjunction was false. The second disjunction was true. But when you conjoin them, a false and a true, you get a false when it's a conjunction. Same story on the eighth row. They're both false in this case, so definitely the conjunction is false. So that's the most challenging row to work through here. Now let's move on to the not A row, a nice easy one. Just look at A and go the opposite. So where A is true, not A is false. Where A is false, not A is true. So the first four had A being true, so not A is going to be false in those first four cases. The second four in your truth column, reference column, had A being false, so not A is true four times in a row. And now we need the truth value for B or C. And again, you know the rule by now for disjunctions. In the first row, it's true because both B and C are true. Second row, B is true, C is false, so the disjunction is true. Third row, B is false, but C is true, so the disjunction's true. Fourth row, they're both false, so there the disjunction is false. That's the only situation in which disjunctions are false. B or C is false only if both components are false, and that's the case in that row. Fifth row, they're both true, B and C, so obviously the disjunction is true. Sixth row, B is true, C is false, so the disjunction's true. Seventh row, B's false, but C's true, so once again, it's a disjunction. If one item's true, the total disjunction is true. And in the eighth row, B and C are both false, and that means the disjunction is false because both of its members are false. So in the B or C column, you have the fourth row and the eighth row showing a false value. So now we've got it all set up, and we're ready to find out whether this argument is valid. How do you do that? Remember how to do that again? You look where the premises are true, and then in any rows where all the premises are true, is the conclusion true in all those rows? Look at the first row. Well, you don't have both premises being true. Second row, third row, no. Fourth row, no. Fifth row, both premises are true. Sixth row, no. Seventh row, no. Eighth row, no. There's only one row, the fifth row, in which both premises are true. And so that isn't a valid argument, because where both premises are true, the conclusion is true. B or C is true in that column, and therefore the argument is valid because you do not have any row that shows the premises being true and yet the conclusion being false. That's how truth tables work. In a sense, they look complicated. It may seem complicated as you work your way through, but if you do it just one bit at a time, really that's what logic does. Just take one step at a time, think it through. If you have to watch this video again or read Dr. Van Cleve's article carefully, work through it again till you kind of have the hang of it, and then do the exercises, and more of that will sink in. But remember, the aim of it, of doing a truth table, is to find the rows in which the premises are true, and then find out whether the conclusion was true in those rows. If the conclusion is true in all rows where the premises were true, then you have a valid argument. But if you find even one row where all premises are true but the conclusion was false, the argument is not valid.